Konnichiwa, Minisan.
Hello, and welcome to Famicast 255, your Famicast for the first part of October 2023. I'm your host, Danny Bivens, and today I'm joined by Ty Sugar.
The class war is real. And by class, you know, I mean like rogues, warriors, wizards, you know.
Yeah.
You got to choose your class, right?
Of course. Of course, that's how that goes. Ty, what's going on, man, aside from class wars and presidents drinking poop water?
Oh, yeah, yeah. Before the show, we were just talking about some of our other favorite podcasts. I was listening to Hell of Presidents on YouTube. There's a bit of gamer lingo in it, but yeah, it's history. So I would highly recommend listening to the Hell of Presidents, a 12-part series.
There it is. And yep. Yeah, I was talking to Ty right before the show, too. It's like, yeah, actually, I studied history as my major in university. A lot of good that did me, but here we are. So today, unfortunately, JC will again not be able to join us. He's dealing with like some work stuff, just general life, like busyness and stuff like that. So it might be a while before he has a chance to be able to come back. But in the meantime, Ty and I are going to press on. Keep bringing you the best damn content out of Japan or whatever. Or something, we'll bring you something. And yeah, that's what we're going to do. Lots of really cool little bits of news today. We're going to talk about some really awesome games. One that's like super Japanese. Another one like that Ty's going to talk about that I kind of don't really know what to expect. But in a good way, in a good way. So that one should be pretty fun. But yeah, let's just go ahead and kick things off with some new business.
Let's go.
And Ty, how about you kick it off for us, man?
It's me. Okay. Let's see. I was playing a little game by the name of Gal Guardians Demon Purge. And I've actually seen this game under two names. I've also seen it as like Grim Guardians Demon Purge.
Okay.
For reasons, I don't know why. But okay. So, you know, at a glance, you know, it looks like, you know, like a nod to Castlevania Symphony of the Night, like,
yeah,
like almost a direct copy in a lot of respects. Like, yeah. You got like these big pixely enemies that like bleed the big pixely blood when you hit them. It got like the characters have the same kind of like shadowy sprite pseudo blur behind them when they move. Like, yeah, like you can see in the screenshots that right there. It's like Symphony of the Night, but it's also not. Okay, so first things first, you probably didn't see this coming, but this is a spin-off of fucking Galgun.
Really? Okay.
Yeah.
Okay.
I actually never played Galgun, despite what people would assume.
Right.
So I'm gonna go look for that later. I'll try to give that a try.
I'm trying to think. I could have swore maybe Cyrus years ago talked about Galgun. Okay.
Yeah. So, anyway, like, it was on sale. It looks like Symphony of the Night. I'm going to hop in on it. So I did. okay, so you got these two cute, squeaky-voiced anime-chans here.
Of course.
You can switch between them freely, and they, you know, they have different abilities. So,
oh, cool.
You know, it's kind of like Castlevania 3 or Portrait of Ruin or whatever.
Sure.
Okay, so let's see. What the hell were their names? Shinobu. Which one's Shinobu? On the left, I think.
Okay.
She has a gun.
Okay. Okay.
Yeah, you got like 100-round SMGs. Pretty good range. You shoot enemies with it.
Nice.
And the other girl whose name is, I don't remember, like Mio or something.
just go through here real quick. I don't see any mentions of names, unfortunately.
Okay, but... She has like a big swingy weapon, so you like you can jump and like do a big overhead swing. It'll hit enemies above you, so she can they can attack at different angles, and you might want to switch back and forth between them. And they all have they have different sub weapons. The way sub weapons work in this game is you start with one. As you finish levels, you get new sub weapons. So it's actually not a Metroidvania so much. It's actually like a level by level Castlevania game.
Huh, okay.
Yeah. But you can also freely teleport back to previous levels. Like each level has different routes through them.
Hmm.
So you might split your path. So in that sense, I don't know, what's another game that does that?
I mean, there are obviously other ones out there. Nothing's coming to mind off the top of my head, at least.
Maybe I was getting kind of a Mega Man X vibe.
Okay.
You can go like slightly out of the way and find like some hidden goodies. The bosses are very Castlevania. I love these bosses. They're very cool.
Yeah, that thing's huge that's going on in the screenshot right now. Big.
Yes.
Big breasted, big bodied person. Spikes on the bottom too.
I saw some other bosses in your screenshots here, and they usually have like two phases.
Okay.
So the bosses are quite cool.
Okay.
So after you finish each level, this is another one. It's it's like a fucking rabbit with a guitar. it's kind of rad.
Okay.
So when you finish levels, you'll get access to new sub weapons, and you can kind of flip through them. So they kind of stack up, and it gets a little complicated. And what's her face here has some particular movement related ones, so you can reach places that may or may not be intended.
Okay,
which is kind of cool. One she gets early, maybe the one she starts not like the second one that she gets. I think it's an origami crane. It's like a giant one,
mm-hmm.
and you can throw it down. It's kind of like a platform you can stand on.
Mm-hmm.
After you go through the game's whole first route, you get a power up attack, and you hold it, you let it go, and if you do it in the air, it'll push you up and back as you throw it. So you can kind of combine those to get into some cool secret places.
Huh.
Yeah, and also kind of the Easter egg thing you do along the way is you find all the random schoolgirls and rescue them.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, it sounds like you have a visitor.
Yeah, he's my cat.
put him on the stream.
Yeah, well, if he makes it in the room, he'll be here.
Okay. Yeah. So when you're in the area, you can hear these girls crying for help or making comments like, "Oh gosh, where am I? Find me." So you might be able to break a wall or get up to some hard to reach place and find them.
Okay.
So that's cool. So like I said, it is kind of a level by level Castlevania game. You do a level, it may have a couple of paths you can choose from. And then you beat the boss, you go to the next level, but you can also teleport back to a previous level whenever you want.
Oh, okay. That's cool.
So it's a little bit Metroidvania in that way. It is really like a hybrid between a Metroidvania and an old school level by level Castlevania.
Okay. Like to choose where you go, how do you do that? Is it like a list or how does that work?
There's a teleporter between each stage.
Okay.
And you just scroll through remember in Castlevania 1 and a lot of other ones, it shows you a map of the whole game.
Yeah.
As you progress level by level, you can just kind of scroll back.
Okay.
On a map like that.
Okay, that makes sense.
Yeah, a lot of stuff is really just a copy of the Symphony of the Night, stylistically.
Sure.
It's a little cuter, a little more anime.
Right, right. I mean, I did notice that, the artwork that they have for the characters in particular, it's really sharp looking. I mean, kind of like a real sharp contrast between the game's visuals and, those art things. I mean, it's fine, but it that almost kind of makes, because you think about Game Boy Advance, Castlevanias, or even like Symphony of the Night. Even, you know, it's a little bit fuzzy or whatever.
It would be like a scan of a hand painted thing, mm-hmm. with fucking restricted to 32 colors or something.
Yeah, yeah. So I mean, yeah, it's like obviously, you know, those systems had some limitations that the current systems don't. So yeah, but I still like this, kind of like the cross between you know, visuals there. I thought that's kind of interesting.
Yeah. Also a small thing, but can you go back to a screenshot that has text?
Sure.
It has a very default indie game kind of text. Do you know what I mean?
Yeah, no, I know exactly.
It's what like you when you get this font in a video game, you know you're in for like some grimy Japanese indie game. And I'm like, I'm here for it. Let's go. Jinsei in the chat. Oh no.
What just dropped today?
New tome dropping today. It's basically the new battle pass for DBD.
Okay.
I don't think I'm gonna commit to that. I am way too fucking burned out on that game. I mean, I might if like when the Halloween event starts, if I go through that and I get like a lot of progress on it.
Sure.
But I think I might just get that Halloween stuff and dip.
Yeah, yeah.
So where was I? It's like not the most original feeling game I've ever felt, but like for $20 or however much I spent on it, it's not bad.
Yeah.
It's fun. And there's still stuff I don't know about this game. Like I just like went through the game, got to the end boss, and then like a new super boss revealed themselves, and it sends me back to the beginning where there's like a new hub kind of area. And that's where I'm at. So I think I don't know what's in the store for the rest of the game. Like, you know, if you went in and played Symphony of the Night blind, like you go in, you get a shitty ending and you don't even find out about the upside down castle.
Sure.
Like you've only played half the game and you might not even realize it.
So it's like, basically me, because I've never beaten that game, not even come close.
Okay. So it might be a new situation like that.
Sure. Sure.
Okay. So, I will report back, I think.
Okay.
Next week.
Okay.
Especially if I have all the achievements or whatever.
Right. Yeah, exactly. Yeah. Okay. Just to catch up with the chat a little bit. Yeah. John Cario's in the chat.
What's good? Jinsei.
Yeah. Jinsei's also there as well. Metal Mike's there too. What's up, guys? Thank you for stopping by. Hopefully, we can help entertain your morning, evenings, afternoons, whatever it is. So that's what we're here to do, or at least try to.
We're here to transcend space and time.
Yes. We'll see what we can do.
All right. And the other thing is Diablo 2. I've been on that grind.
Oh, shit. Okay.
Yeah. So, I am definitely committing to getting all the achievements in this game. It is a tremendous grind.
Yeah.
Yeah. But, you know, like last week, when I was playing, I randomly, you know, the nature of the game, random drops. I randomly got like a top three, like best sorceress weapon in the game.
Oh God. Okay.
So I'm like, wow, I just won the lottery here. So I was playing a lot of sorceress, like getting her level up, playing assassin. I'm just trying to get like all the characters I have to like nightmare difficulty, or I mean hell difficulty. It's like normal.
Okay.
Hell and nightmare. It's basically you just go through the game again. It's like level 1 to 30 or 40 is like normal, and then like 40 to 60 or 70 ish is nightmare, and then once you get like over 70 you should probably be in hell difficulty.
Okay.
Yeah. And There's like some major difficulty humps at different parts. A thing that is really great for this game, it now has a super convenient method of sharing items between your different characters.
And it's not called eBay?
Yeah, it's not called eBay. I remember like I played OG Diablo 2 and like you basically had to have like a friend hold stuff for you so you could swap it to a different character, and it was a pain in the ass.
That's
now your character shares your big chest inventory pretty much.
Okay.
Yeah. And you can make any number of characters just to like hold your mountains of looted garbage, which I have many of at this point. Like I have a character who's like whole bank and inventory is just full of fucking perfect gems. Like, I need to do something with this shit. Like,
yeah,
where am I at in the grind? I've definitely got like an in-game necromancer, almost in-game Amazon, and then like just everybody else like floating around like nightmare difficulty more or less.
Okay.
So there are 7 classes in the game, if I remember. And yep, I got for the achievement, I have to finish hell difficulty with all of them. I have to get 1 to level 99.
Okay.
And I have to get 1 hardcore character to 99.
What's a hardcore character?
Now, a hardcore, it's like permadeath. He cannot die.
Oh my god.
Yeah. Oh my god. I think it's pretty doable on Necromancer. Of all the characters I've played, like Necromancer seems to be the most like safety mode character.
It's kind of like projectile attacks and stuff like that.
Depends how you do your character build, but basically Necromancer is like you stand around and let your minions do everything.
Okay. Okay.
So it's kind of like Pikmin or Overlord or Stubbs the Zombie.
Okay.
Like, if you put all your points in your summoning skills, you're just kind of standing there. Well, like 20 skeletons and like 20 resurrected enemies are like just swarming around you, and you're just kind of leisurely walking around, like picking up the piles of piles of gold.
Okay. Okay.
Yeah, and like, you know, basically just don't get killed by a stray lightning bolt, and you'll probably be okay.
Okay.
So that's the plan. And I'm also actually going to do that in offline mode.
Okay.
Because, you know, if you get randomly disconnected and you're in a hot spot, like, your guy's going to die.
Oh, man, that's okay. Yeah.
In Diablo 4, it also has hardcore mode. And, like the world leader in hardcore mode died because they shut down the server with no warning to add like the fucking store or something.
Oh man. Uh-oh.
I would have been pissed.
Yeah, for real.
So like the downside is, you know, you can't like go online and like get like a bunch of free hand-me-downs from other characters.
Sure.
So like I have an offline hardcore character. He's naked. Pretty much. But, you know, it's also pretty much the easy mode character, so I will report back on that when I like die at like level 78.
how long does it take to like, well, you're up 78 now or whatever, how long does that take like in terms of like in-game hours?
I
mean, I know obviously it depends on probably a lot of things, but like maybe like on average,
it's pretty random. Okay. I think you could probably go through, I want to say like 12 hours just to go through each difficulty level on one character.
Okay.
More or less, maybe longer on health.
Okay.
But you know, sometimes it's faster, especially if you just go on online mode and you just like follow a higher level guy.
Yeah.
Just like speed through all the quests.
Yeah.
Like, okay, a thing is, you do have to do quests in each act for reasons. Basically, okay. Like you can just skip everything, but like you need to do like the act 2 quest, so and the first time through you can get the cube, you have to do the first one because like you get a skill book reward. You have to do like the act 5 quest because you need to raise your character's elemental resistance. It's you need to do act 3 because you get like a thing that permanently raises your life capacity. It's like there's actual character upgrades associated with the quest. So like, okay, even if you just get powered leveled, you still have to go back and do that shit if you don't want a crippled character.
Okay. Okay.
Does that make sense?
Yeah. No, absolutely. Absolutely. I was playing another game that was a similar deal. No, fuck. I'm just thinking of Rogue Leader on the GameCube. I mean, you could play that game without getting any upgrades for your ships and stuff like that. But if you do, like, the later levels become really difficult because you don't have the kind of firepower or health that you need. It's doable, but like really hard. So like, yeah, sometimes stuff like that
And yeah, you have to go back. You have to do your chores.
Sure. Obviously, yeah, completely different genre and everything, but yeah, I get what you're saying.
Yeah, you have to do the side quests. What else have I done in that game? I did luck out and get the achievement to get to gamble for a unique item.
Okay.
So in this game, there's gambling. It's like a literal gotcha where you take your hard-earned gold and you go to a certain shopkeeper and it'll show you like types of weapons and armor and you just buy it and it will give you like a random version of it.
Okay.
Yeah. It's not too expensive. Like if you just need to fill out a slot, it's probably the best thing to do. Like, oh, I need a new armor, just a basic scrub armor. And like, you know, you'll get something with like, you know, plus 20 poison resistance or whatever. It's like, thanks for nothing, idiot.
Yeah. Cloth underpants.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, like it'll be plate armor and you'll basically get plate armor with a random effect. And if you're super lucky, you get a rare or unique version, which is, you know, not like a random magical bonuses, but like an actual pre-crafted one by a developer that generally has better stuff than a regular magic item.
Okay.
And I don't know if it's like the same across all the items or not, but like the easiest, cheapest way to get a unique item is still like a 1 in 4,000 chance. So somebody crunched the numbers and figured out the most efficient way to do it, which is you level a character exactly to level 11 because the cost and available items are also based on your character level.
Okay.
And you just give them millions and millions of gold. You don't know how long this is going to take. I think somebody did the math, like the bell curve is like averages out at like 5 million gold or something.
Oh boy.
Maybe it was 2, maybe it was 10. I don't know.
Sure. Still. And then, okay.
And then you go to the shopkeeper and you buy fucking daggers. And then you buy them, you sell them back, you throw them on the ground. It doesn't matter. It's like 2,000 gold a pop and you just buy. And so 1 in 4,000 chance, you're probably gonna be buying like several thousand daggers. And you know, I think it took me like 10 million gold over like several different sessions. Oof. But like I had saved up like 6 million gold for like a really long session of buying, set up a podcast, started listening, and I got it in a couple minutes. I'm like, yes.
Oh, nice.
Yeah, and now I have all this leftover gold. I'm set for life.
Cool.
Yeah. As you may remember, gold is actually kind of worthless as a practical currency. It's really something you just, you know, spend it, like keep your shitty mercenary character alive.
Yeah.
Yeah, so I still have like a ton of leftover gold. It's kind of nice.
Okay.
Gambled some of it for like my lower level characters, but yeah, whatever. That's fine. You know, the real currency of the future is Stones of Jordan.
Yes, obviously. Everyone knew that.
Yep. Okay, so that's where the Diablo grind is at.
Okay.
Hopefully next time I'll have several characters who have finished Hell difficulty. Yeah.
I'll pray for you.
A nice thing also about like trying to do every character is like sometimes your characters just hit a wall. Like they don't have good gear or they're not well equipped to handle a certain kind of boss. So it's like, okay, you just stop playing them. You play a different character and maybe the most perfect gear for them will drop. And so you can make optimal use of everything that drops in the game if you play every character, basically.
Okay.
Yeah. Because, I mean, I didn't find the third best item for Sorceress by playing Sorceress.
Yeah, right.
Yep. All right, so those are my games. That's the grind.
Okay. Well, thank you for your service, sir.
Braver than the troops.
Yeah, hours and hours of that, I'm sure. Yep. All right, well, I'll go ahead and continue on with some new business here. Yeah, one of the things I've been playing is by now it's quite old in terms of the world of the internet. But of course, I'm talking about F-Zero 99. This came out literally the day after the two podcasts ago. We knew that a Nintendo Direct was coming. We didn't know it was going to be there, obviously. And then this is one of the games that appeared randomly, and it was pretty surprising that Nintendo would go back to the well with some F-Zero, considering that they have said brazen and stupid statements like, well, if we do F-Zero, we wouldn't know what to do with it, or something like that. So I'm glad that
fast cars that race.
Yeah, it's like, come on, guys. But I'm really glad that they kind of did go back and did something with the franchise and all that type of stuff. Now, Ty, have you tried this one out yet or not yet?
Not yet.
Okay.
Too busy with Diablo.
Yeah, I mean, you got things that you're doing, I understand.
Yeah.
But yes, I mean, they did actually just release some new tracks just last week. So that's kind of maybe last week, the week before. So that's a bit promising, because there's really no time, no release schedule for any of that type of stuff. Like, when are new tracks going to come? Our new tracks are going to come. So it was kind of nice to see that. And what you have here is basically, essentially Super Nintendo F-Zero, just with a little bit more of a modern twist. Obviously, you're playing online with, up to, 98 other people, 99 people total, yep, and stuff like that.
Lots of that number go down, 98.
Well, I mean, it depends. Sometimes you're on here. You can see me doing horrible in this race, too. But when the game first came out, it would be almost no problem. You can get up to 99 almost just within a couple of seconds. But, as it has been about a month since the game has come out, I do notice that depending on which mode that you're playing, there are several different race types you can do. You can just do a regular F-Zero 99, pick one of two tracks, and then boom, you're done. They have Grand Prix that you can do, Mini Prix, where it's like three races, more longer form Grand Prix are like five. And then they also have like special challenge missions and stuff like that too, like team battle, where it's like basically 50 on 50, green versus pink, and you're trying to see who gets better place, who can bump more guys, take guys out, and stuff like that. And they also have this thing called Pro Tracks as well, which are like the most difficult courses in the game that you're just going through and hope you can not die. But yeah, the typical, F-Zero 99 stages are usually the more popular ones. I do like popping into the pro stages because it's fun. It's a lot more challenging because, these easier stages, everybody's, has played them like a million times, and everybody can blow through really quickly. So it's, you're kind of at a bit of a disadvantage, I think.
Been speedrunning this game for 20 years.
Yeah. But I do like how it feels. Like, I've never been a big fan of Super Nintendo F-Zero. I just did not like the controls with it. I don't know why exactly off the top of my head, but this is a little bit more modern feeling. You can play this with the Super Nintendo pad, from my Nintendo and like all that stuff if you want to. But I've just always been playing with either the Pro Controller or just in handheld mode, mostly in handheld mode. So,
right. I imagine if the game has analog support, you want to use it.
Oh yeah, no, exactly. I use analog support. It feels great. Cause like I said, it's fine. Like it feels good. And, use the, L and R for, turning sharper and stuff like that. Let off the gas if you want to turn real sharp. Yeah. They have this ticket system in the game too, where you earn these tickets so you can participate in the Grand Prix and stuff like that. And Grand Prix happen at different times throughout the day. You can see like a little notification saying like, hey, the next Grand Prix or this cup is coming up at 9 o'clock. And the weekends usually tend to have more Grand Prix and stuff going on as well. And one of the reasons why you want to participate in the Grand Prix and like all that type of stuff is because it nets you like points for like your overall weekly ranking. And you can like compete with the world if you're crazy or really good, or just compete with your friends, like on your friend list and stuff like that.
Right.
So yeah, that's kind of nice. Depending on how much time I have, I always try to pop into some of those on the weekends and stuff like that. Because it's honestly, I mean, these races don't take very long. Minute and a half, 2 minutes each, times that by like three or five. It's not really that big of a commitment either. So,
right.
But I still haven't gotten first, man. Like I did finish third, I think. Maybe in a Grand Prix, actually. Maybe it wasn't. Maybe it wasn't.
Cars all have the same stats as they do in the OG Super Nintendo one?
I believe so. You just have four starting cars, right?
And it looks like you're running Golden Fox.
Yeah.
Guy. Okay, well, I think I figured out the reason why you haven't gotten first yet.
Yeah, it's pretty slow compared to the other ones, that's for sure.
Yeah, I think it actually has the lowest top speed of any of them.
It does.
It's kind of a piece of shit.
Yeah, it does. But it can take a beating, though.
No, I can't.
Well, it's either it could take a beating or it can get bounced around or something. Something about it.
It had the highest acceleration, so... Like, it could be really good on, like, the windiest of courses.
I'm just speaking
from my knowledge of the Super Nintendo one. I don't know if they changed anything. Like, if you want, like, the most durable one, you want the green one. The Pico's car, I forget what it's called. But, you know, if you're not a pussy, you pick Fire Stingray.
Yeah. Well, I mean, I just kind of got, this is what I do with games like this, man. I'll just like get stuck on one thing and just keep at it forever and like never change. I did the same with Splatoon.
That seems kind of unhealthy and insane.
Yeah, it is. And then you get the same results all the time, which is not first place.
All right. Like try picking literally any other car and see how you do.
Okay. Because it has been since like launch week since I had changed up cars. So.
Okay.
That might do me some good, but I did get a bunch of unlocks because you can get rewards and stuff like that for your cars.
Yeah,
it's like all
the courses I've seen here in the footage so far. It's like, yeah, you want Fire Stingray on every one of these, for real.
Yeah, I don't think I have too many of the difficult ones on here, like on the footage. If you're watching the video version, it's just kind of like the way it went. Yeah. Gene says this too. It's like, God, I hope this game isn't pulled. Yeah, I hope not too. This again, Ty, like I was saying, like you cannot get matched up with 99 people before the timer runs out, and then you just get teamed up with meshed up with CPU and stuff like that. I mean, yeah, the CPU seems like they kind of suck. Because like I swear when you have like half and half, it's like you can almost guarantee that you'll at least be in the top 50. So, and yeah, Jinsei brings this up again too. It's like, yeah, Mario 35 was so damn fun. I'm annoyed it's gone. Yeah, I am too, because like out of all of these 99 or these battle royale games that have been on Nintendo Switch Online and stuff like that, yeah, for me Tetris 99 is my favorite. Mario 35 was my second. I wasn't a huge fan of Pac-Man 99, and now we kind of figured out why they did just shelve it, because like, you know, I think Bandai Namco is doing their own Pac-Man online game that's coming out like early next year or something, kind of same idea, but you know, whatever.
Right.
But yeah, I mean, I am enjoying this one. I mean, unlike Tetris, which is, I just think the thing about Tetris is it's not as stressful as something like this or Pac-Man.
Right.
Or even Mario. I mean, you're literally competing in a head-to-head race going, 500 kilometers an hour or whatever.
I just want to chill out and play a highly competitive murder game. Did you see that tweet of mine the other day?
I did not, but I can imagine.
All right. The stuff I see on Scrub Quotes, like...
Oh, okay. One of those. Okay. Yeah, okay. And I mean, Jinsu brings up another point here too. He's like, I'm awful at Tetris, so it's stressful to me. Yeah, man. I mean, I get it. Like, different strokes for different folks. That's for goddamn sure. But I do enjoy this game. The controls are tight. It feels great. It looks great. And I'm glad that F-Zero's back. And I hope that this leads to other F-Zero.
It's back in Pog form.
Yeah, we could be so lucky. That's the next project. Who knows?
It's back in free-to-play Battle Royale mode.
Yeah. Yeah, but I think that's going to do it for my F-Zero 99 talk. Because there was one other game that I did want to bring up that is very Japanese.
Yes.
Something that has been in like the Japanese, like honest to God, like Japanese news on TV, internet, everywhere.
Let's go.
Over the past like week or two. And this is, of course, Watermelon Game. So like...
Yes, I've seen all my favorite VTubers playing this one.
Yeah, so this is, if you're unfamiliar, and if you are, I don't blame you. I was kind of unfamiliar with it too, but this is just a puzzle game that's on the Switch. You control this little cloud at the top of the screen that is dropping fruit inside of this box. The goal here is to match the fruit with, like, if you have a grape, you want to match the grape with the grape. And then it becomes like another bigger fruit. You want to basically keep doing this and get as many points as you can. If the box fills up with fruit, you lose. So yeah, it really, really simple concept. And it's bizarre that how this whole thing kind of happened. And I mean, Ty's been kind of familiar with this because, you know, he's Ty. So I just imagined, right, like before I even like talked to him, I was like, I bet Ty knows about this. Yeah. He did. So like Ty, I guess, where did you first hear about this, man?
VTuber clips. All right. I've seen a few of them playing this, but do you remember Sakura Miko?
I know that name for some reason. I probably shouldn't.
She's a VTuber. It's like very leaning on the very cute, dumb side.
Okay.
And she's the one that did the fucking, she sang the song for Ark, the rap song.
Okay.
Dee, 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 and some other clips. Anyway, she was playing this game and I guess she did something really well, and she meant to say standing ovation, but that's not the word she said. She said masturbation because she forgot what English word means what. And she also didn't notice. Chat went crazy. And she has no idea what's going on. She's just playing the funny watermelon game.
Right.
And that got clipped. That went viral.
Okay.
And I got a good laugh out of it.
Yeah.
So, yeah. Let me tell you, it's a constant terror, like, speak a foreign language. Like, this word is almost a homonym for this extremely lewd word.
Yeah.
How do I not say this accidentally ever?
Exactly. I mean, yeah. I mean, Ty knows just as well as anybody else that lives in Japan. I mean, Jesus Christ, man. Like, I try not to laugh too much at people that make language mistakes because it's like, geez, man, I do it probably every day.
True.
Yeah. But yeah, back to this game. Like, what kind of brought this to my attention was that this had appeared on the, like, the top downloaded game on the Japanese eShop for like September, and it has been on like the top download list for several weeks. I was like, well, what the hell? I mean, obviously getting exposure from like the VTubers helped, and then not only that, yeah, it just kind of compounded because then like celebrities and stuff like that. Were probably into the VTubers started, you know, talking about the game, playing the game on their own personal streams and stuff like that, getting more people interested in it. Then getting to the point where they're talking about it on Japanese TV, like regular TV, talking about it like Yahoo News Japan and like all this type of stuff. So this shit just like really blown up over the past like week, especially because after that announcement, this thing has sold over a million units digitally. And yeah, it's pretty crazy. And the kind of the crazy thing about this company, they're not even really a game company. This company makes projectors. They make fucking projectors. And the original way they released this game, they developed it for one of their very specific projectors and released it that way in like April 2021.
It's like in the projector firmware?
Yeah, I think so. Like they have like apps and stuff like that, I guess. I guess. I don't have one of their, you know,
nice.
Thousands of dollar projectors. Look really nice though. But yeah, I guess it was a game for that. And then they just kind of came up with the idea like, yo, let's try to get our name out there and let's put this on the Switch. So they did in December 2021. So like this game kind of laid dormant basically up until like the past couple of months, which is pretty wild.
Right.
But that's kind of like the way it goes sometimes. Yeah, so I picked up this game today. And I wrote up a news article about like the sales and a couple other things. I'm working on like a longer form video specifically about this. So yeah, if you're interested in that, be sure to check that out. Hopefully sometime this week. But yeah, if you do want to buy this game, I mean, please note it's only available in Japanese. You have to buy it from the Japanese eShop too, as far as I know. There are versions like on iOS which the company like today or yesterday sent out some kind of thing on Twitter that said like, hey, we contacted Apple and said like, hey, why the hell is our game on iOS? We didn't even release an iOS version. So like there's something, you know, kind of fishy going on there.
So bootleg game company.
Yeah. So I mean, like it's a pretty generic name too, like watermelon game, like Suica game is what it's called. So I mean, yeah, I could see people just ripping it off and getting away with it, I guess, but yeah.
Right. Corporations are people, my friend, and I just committed identity theft.
Yeah. So anyways, like, yeah, this is super fun. I bought this today, 240 yen, which is at the time of recording right now is like $1.60 USD.
Yes. That exchange rate is killing me, man.
Dude, I'll get to that in a minute, but yeah, so if you want to get some games off the Japanese eShop right now, yo, it's a good time to do so. Stuff is cheap. But anyway, yeah, if you're interested in checking it out, I mean, it's fun. Again, Suica Gamer is what it's called.
Yeah, at a glance, it's like the colorful fruit is activating my basic primate neurons. Like
the music that's in the game too, I cut it out of the video, unfortunately, just what I did, but like it's pretty catchy, and it's the same thing over and over again. I could imagine after hours and hours it might get a little annoying, but
oh yeah, that reminds me, just a random story. There was an old Game Boy Color puzzle game, and I think I saw it on the shelf for like $5, like in the 90s. So I'm like, nice. Okay, I'll just get this.
Yeah.
I forget what it's called, but like you basically match up pieces from four different directions. Mm-hmm. But the fucking game only has one song in it, and it's Where the Buffalo Roam, or whatever the title of that song. Give me a home on the range.
Oh my God.
That is the only song in the game. And it made me just like, it doesn't even like fit like thematically. Right.
Wow.
It does have like a basic Tetris spacey kind of look, and it's just the one song, and it just made me want to blast myself within like 5 minutes.
I was gonna say, like, I don't hate that song, but I can imagine if that was the only song on like a soundtrack for a game, that would get kind of old. I mean, at least with like Crazy Taxi, it cycled through like three songs.
Yeah. Yeah, and I've had a lot of people like bought that game randomly and know what I'm talking about, because it was on the shelves everywhere for a long time.
Sure.
If it randomly comes back to me. So yeah, the game devs, please, it's very dangerous to only have one song in your game.
Yeah, for real.
Unless it's the song from I Made a Game with Zombies.
Okay.
Do you remember that shit?
No.
Okay. This was also a historical game of meme proportions, I should say. Remember when Xbox 360, they had their indie games program?
Yeah.
And they had basically had an indie games app, and a bunch of people could put their games like within that app, like just contained within it. And some real bangers came out of that, like Protect Me Night. But there was an infamous game called I Made a Game with Zombies in it. And I think all caps with like some like deliberate typos in it. And it's just, you know, kind of like a Robotron kind of survival horde game, real simple. And it had a 10 minute long song that was like, it was like sung by the guy that made the game. It was like, I made a game with zombies. It was weird. And the whole game kind of became a meme for a couple months there.
Okay. Okay.
As like a beautiful icon of the then indie game scene.
Yeah, that must have missed me, but okay, maybe it's for the best.
I think you probably knew about it, but it slipped your mind.
Probably, there's so many things just.
Yeah, so that's the one game that gets a pass for having one song in it. Everybody else is on notice.
Okay. All right. Cool. Well, that is going to do it for new business. Before we move on to Now Playing, we're going to go ahead and share one of the other podcasts on the Tokyo Beat Podcast Network with you guys. We're a part of the network. Basically, we promote each other's podcasts and stuff like that. So Give me a second here, and I'm going to bring up the podcast for this month. Here we go.
Hi, this is Mono, the host of Tokyo Game Life, a Tokyo-based video game podcast focusing on Nintendo and gaming culture in Japan's capital. It's your slice of gaming life from Tokyo. Every episode features deep dives into gaming-related places to visit in Tokyo, interviews with fans, developers, and experts, plus detailed thoughts on both retro and new games. Tokyo Game Life, only on the Tokyo Beat Network.
And now playing at thefamicast.com. Lots of stuff going up on our website, and a couple of things coming up on YouTube and Patreon as well. Yeah, like I mentioned earlier, I'm working on something for Watermelon Game. Maybe have that up in the next couple of days. Who knows? We'll see how that goes. Yeah, another thing that I need to make a post about, but for the patrons, game night is going to be coming up very soon. I'm going to be putting up some dates and stuff like that that are going to work, see if they can work out for you guys and all that. And again, if you're not familiar with our Patreon and stuff like that, yeah, we do have a game night usually once a season, like as in like, you know, spring, summer, fall, winter, where we play games with you guys and record it and yeah, have fun. It's awesome. And hoping to do that here pretty soon. I'm working on another Patreon exclusive show in the process of kind of editing a couple of things for that. So hopefully that will be coming to you guys soon as well. A little bit of a spoiler alert there, but I look forward to that. And then, yeah, just on the website, tons of news and stuff going up. I mean, some Japanese that we'll talk about on the show today, some stuff that might just be too cool to, I don't know, make it onto the show. So yeah, be sure.
Or the classic news that breaks like minutes after we finish recording the podcast.
Yeah, it's usually what that type of stuff happens. It's like, okay, cool. It's like almost midnight and like, yeah, I'm going to go to bed. But, yeah, but all of this and more, famicast.com. And, well, since we're missing James, I got to ask Ty, like, actually, what are we doing next, man?
Japanese!
That's right, folks.
All right. It's good stuff. I wonder if my neighbors heard that, probably.
I hope they did. Good substitution there. That's right, folks. It is time for the Japan news. This is the time of the show we talk about the latest and greatest comings and goings of news in Japan and Nintendo and everything else in between. We have a kind of a healthy little dose of kind of quick hitters and stuff today. First one. Hi, Tani. That was beautiful. Perfect, Ty. Good job, man.
Thanks. That was just out of pocket right there.
Yeah, exactly. Well, first up today, I'm going to get something ready to share with you guys here as well so you can see it. Yeah, we have a new game trial coming to Nintendo Switch Online, or it's out right now. And this is for none other than Eastward. This game was on the Nintendo Switch Online game trials in the West just like a week and a half ago. But yeah, it just hit the service here in Japan on October 9th. Yeah, and it's going to be running until Sunday, October 15th. So yeah, if you want to check it out again, you can do that for absolutely free. We have like a video how-to guide that James had made a long time ago, basically how you can do that, and you can. Just if you're keeping track at home too, I mean, this marks the 10th game trial in Japan this year and the 43rd overall. And yeah, Nintendo's been really good about doing these on a monthly basis here, whereas in the West, it just seems like they kind of do it at random, which is stupid. But yeah, I know Lemonade, you know, I don't think he can make it to the live version of the show today, but I know he's a big fan of this game. He said it's awesome. So maybe that's reason enough to check it out. Ty, did this one come to like Game Pass or something? Have you tried this one before?
No, I've no idea what this is.
Yeah. I mean, same with me. I mean, you could kind of see, you know, some of the video and stuff like that, but still. Okay. Well, I mean, it's free and it has English support too, as far as I know, as far as I remember.
Oh, that's good.
Yeah.
So there's that. Developed by anybody we know?
Oh my god, I forgot to write that down. I mean, personally, probably not. good question. No answer. Sorry.
Yeah, like I think I may or may not be interested in playing this based on the track record of, like, there's no company name here anywhere. What's going on? Who developed this?
Yeah, sorry, I wish I could tell you.
I'm Googling it now.
But yeah, and also another thing too, usually when these game trials happen, the games do go on sale. And
Shanghai-based indie developers, Pixel. All right.
Okay.
Shanghai.
Okay.
It's a real Manchurian candidate right here.
Okay. Okay. Yeah. Well, this game is 50% off too until like the end of the month. It's usually about like a month or so or something like that. Yeah, until October 22nd. So if you want to get it in yen, 1400 yen, that's probably less than right around like 10 bucks or less. So like it's cheap. But anyway, you can try it for free. But Ty, do you want to take this next little bit of
let's
there?
Go. Let's see. So Super Mario Brothers movie, it's already had a home release, but it's going back to theaters in Japan in 4D only. What does this mean? You can see it in length, width, depth, and time? Wow. Starting Friday, October 13th, until Thursday, October 19th. Okay. 1 week only, not even a whole week.
Yeah, exactly. So I thought that was kind of weird. But I mean, it's cool. I thought the movie was fun. I'm kind of bummed. I really don't like 4DX. Have you ever tried one of those, Ty?
No, I have no idea what that shit is.
So it's basically, you know, 3D movies are a thing, right? Obviously.
Right.
Add just movement and then very light sprays of water and sometimes weird smells in this 4D.
Okay.
I don't know. Don't go to one of those things hungover. It's like the worst thing you could possibly do.
Yeah, that sounds horrifying, actually.
Yeah, that smells are really getting to me. And also, like, I don't know. I'd recommend making sure it's a movie that you've already seen. I saw, like, what is it, Star Trek Into Darkness or something in 4DX, the theater kind of close to me. It just kind of took you out of the movie a little bit. I don't know.
It's like, what is that godforsaken smell?
Yeah, it's just weird. You can, some of these things, at least the particular theater I went to, you can like turn some of that stuff off. Like, hey, you don't want to get wet. It's not even like you're getting soaked or something, but just like a little spray of water or something.
Yeah. No thanks.
Yeah, Gene say, I can smell Peach's feet. Yes. Yeah. Anyway, so I thought that was kind of interesting that they're just bringing it back just for a week. Japanese only. There's not going to be any English here. So, yeah, actually, next up, Ty, would you mind taking this story as well? Sorry,
sure.
I'm gonna hit you with two right in a row.
Oh man, all this extra work, I should go on strike. If you've been playing your online games exclusively on 3DS or Wii U, please consult a doctor immediately.
Yes.
Nintendo announced they will discontinue online play and functionality that uses online communication for both systems in April 2024. Mm-hmm. All right. This includes co-op play, internet rankings, data distribution. Okay. I imagine if there's like any games that have their own separate server infrastructure, those might stay alive. But I imagine there are zero companies out there supporting, you know, like fucking Call of Duty or whatever the fuck people might play on these systems.
Right. I mean,
that are alive dimensions. Sure,
yeah, dude. Yeah, that'd be cool. But like, you know, Nintendo were really specific. I think when they wrote up like this entry on their website, they said like third parties are, it's still possible for them to do it, but it's up to them, you know, for that type of stuff.
Right.
And then, yeah, John Cario mentions this too, but yeah, Pokemon Bank and Poke Transport or some shit like that, very specific Pokemon apps will still be available and up and running.
They're kind of outside of that infrastructure bubble, I guess.
Exactly.
Yeah, well, I'm really glad that Nintendo makes their systems really easy to hack, so like fans will continue online support.
Sure.
You just hop on those unofficial servers, I'm sure.
Yeah.
If you really got to play Splatoon 1 or whatever.
Yeah, well, you still can right now. Honestly, yeah, you still can
until really April.
Well, yeah.
I think I heard a number that was really wild. Like, there's only like 1,000 active users or something. I don't know if that's true, but
Who knows? I mean, it that seems a little bit low, but I mean, then again, it's old. I mean, people could still play Splatoon 2, and but it is free to play online. No.
Yeah.
Yes, it is free. It's been so long. Yeah.
Yeah, wow. That's a good point. Free online play.
Yeah.
Something rapidly disappearing from people who don't play on PC. Yeah. But, you know, like I said, I'm really interested to see, like, you know, fan servers spring up.
Sure.
Like, I'm pretty sure you can still play Phantasy Star Online on Nintendo GameCube.
I think maybe I talked about this on the show, but in Tokyo, I found, at one point in Japan, they were selling a version of the game that came with, you know, a modem adapter or a broadband adapter. I found one with a modem adapter, just packed with it, like a set, like a cool box.
Oh boy, dial up gang.
Yeah.
Let's go.
I did have a broadband adapter for the GameCube back in the day. I picked it up at Walmart on the clearance shelf, like a month after they released it. I guess Walmart just didn't get the memo that this thing was brand new, but it was cool. It was like $25. I think it retailed for like $35. So I was like, yes, thank you very much.
Nice.
So,
yes. Yeah, that's pretty good. Yeah, I have one on my GameCube as well.
Nice. I ended up rebuying it because I've talked about this on the show before, but a lot of my shit just got stolen or shit when I was living over here, which sucks, which why most of it is here with me now, whatever was left. But well, kind of continuing on with the news here as well. So yeah, you know, Mario Wonder is right around the corner. It's coming up next Friday on October 20th. Nintendo is really kind of blowing the lid off with a lot of marketing and stuff like that here in Japan. They have a lot of different campaigns going on. Specifically, they've teamed up with 7-Eleven here to have a lot of different stuff. Unfortunately, at least as of right now, they didn't announce like any like hot snacks or anything like that. Like this, what we've seen with Zelda and all that.
Bring back the Koopa sandwich,
dude. I mean, that stuff
is so good.
Mario 35, they had some legit, like really awesome stuff.
For real, yeah.
I was happy with that. But this is more like a lot of merch. They do have. I mean, there's like things like bottle toppers. You can just buy, find like specific kinds of drinks, and you can get you know, stuff that way. What's that?
Those are cute.
Yeah. So and they're usually in like a little bag on the side of those things. You can get some folders if you want to buy some like ice cream. You get some free folders out of it. There's stickers, but you have to buy like onigiri or rice balls to do that. And it's like 2 rice balls for like 1 sticker. It's like, okay, I'm not going to buy like 8 rice balls. They're going to expire in like 24 hours just for some stickers. But that might just be me.
That's breakfast, lunch, and dinner.
Yeah, but hey, yo, I mean, they do have some Fire Mario spicy tomato noodles, Thai, 246 yen. You get some stickers with them as well.
This might be good.
Yeah.
Cup Noodle has some competition for their new gamer noodles.
Oh, yeah, exactly.
Have you seen those? I haven't tried them yet.
I haven't tried them yet. I'm usually not a big fan of the cup noodles, honestly. She'd say. Bring it back to the rice balls, like coward. I'd eat all 8. Yeah, man.
Do you remember that episode of The Simpsons where Homer Simpson packed like an entire pot of spaghetti into like a bar and then ate it? That's what eating onigiri is like. Like one of those is pretty filling. If you ate, you would fucking die.
Yeah, something about the 7-Eleven mayonnaise has really kind of fucked me up recently too. So
hello, City Hospital.
God. Other cool stuff too: chocolates. Little biscuits or cookies and stuff. There is some kind of a hot Koopa snack here, Ty, like some kind of potato chip thing, shells,
as
they're called. Some ramen egg soda candy, some chew or high chews, which are kind of like really good, like kind of premium gummy candies. It's a lottery and like all sorts of stuff like that. And then there's also like an Ichiban Kuji lottery too, which is like, you know, the blind stuff. You pay for like the blind ticket and you get blind shit. But yeah, I'm excited. I'll probably, you know, head over and buy 7-Eleven. That I think most of this stuff starts up on the 13th, Friday.
Yeah.
Wow. Okay. We have to talk to the Tencho, the lady in charge there, and be like, hey, yo, hook me up with some stuff.
Right.
Right. So we'll see how it goes.
Camp it out for the midnight release of the Koopa chips.
Well, I asked her, like, if there's anything at 7-Eleven. Last year they had the Splatoon 3 stuff, and she told me, I was like, hey, what time are you guys getting this stuff in? And she told me exactly, like, we're getting you this stuff in at, like, 10. Bet. Get there at, like, 9:59, and, like, I'm the only one there, you know, for that
Let's
stuff.
Let's go. So.
Yeah. Yeah. Unfortunately, I'm not friends with, I don't have friends or contacts at every convenience store in my town, so I miss out.
KSK, the white kid is back.
I do know. Yo, they know me. They know. Yeah, they know what I'm all about. Yeah, that's all the stuff that we had.
Get the Splatoon stuff.
Get it out. Yeah, that's all like the stuff we had kind of listed on here. There were a couple of other news items. We're just gonna kind of do a little bit off the cuff. Like Ty, do you want to talk about what you're gonna talk about?
What was I gonna talk about,
Mr. Douchebag? Unity.
Unity? Oh, yeah, yeah. I just saw in passing before the show that apparently the Unity guy that everybody hates is stepping down.
Yeah.
What's his name? Yeah, the guy that everybody hates, basically. Yeah. The EA guy. The guy that's never played a video game in his life.
Yeah. Well, congratulations. It's like you did what you set out to do, jackass. I mean,
faith is restored in the platform, maybe.
We'll see.
Yeah. So. I mean, some people have been suggesting he was just the fall guy for what the stockholders wanted all along.
It's like, will we ever know? I mean, probably not, but
yeah. But yeah, the whole debacle seemed like just insane with zero thought put into it.
Yeah, just like very much like almost something you'd expect out of like a Japanese company or something. Some bureaucrat just spouting off, we need to do it this way. And you're like, no, actually, you know, this is going to really make a bunch of people
sell
mad.
Off all our IP so we can go all in on NFTs.
Yeah, exactly. There was still like NFT advertising and stuff like that at Tokyo Game Show by some bigger companies. Like, God, what? Did you guys realize that nobody gives a shit about this stuff anymore? Another, go ahead, Ty.
Oh, no, I was just saying, yikes.
No. Another thing I saw this morning, too, and I think a lot of you guys out there saw as well, you know, PlayStation 5 Slim is a thing that's coming. And then the, you know, they're having a discless one where you can actually get, like, you know, something akin to the Xbox 360 HD DVD drive, except for, you know, Ultra HD, you know, Blu-ray version, which, cool. You know, it's still with the exchange rate being so bad, like it's another price increase for Japan. I think it's up. That's going to bring it up to like 66,000 yen or something like that. It's pretty ridiculous. And it, with like the direct conversion into dollars, though, it's cheap, like 400 some bucks. But like,
right.
If you think about earning money in yen, how much money you get. And it's just
like what does that say for like the buying power? Like how much is that?
Yeah, you could buy, I don't know, 6,000 Coca-Colas.
Yeah.
No, maybe right. More, but I don't know. I mean, let's say like your daily or your monthly rent's like 60,000 yen for a really shitty apartment in the middle of Tokyo, or right. Like a decent one in Saitama where I am. Oh man, Ty.
It finally happened.
Just crashed.
Someone clipped that.
Nice.
All right.
Unfortunately,
those boxes are all empty, so
okay
that's fine.
Well, did a shelf break or like was it just other
my I was using that box as sort of a pseudo shelf and it just kind of fell over.
Nice.
So there we go.
Yeah, but yeah, back to the PlayStation stuff, and you know, it's about buying power and like, yeah man, if a game system is going to cost like as much as your rent or something like that, like yeah, you got to start thinking about what you can be able to spend your money on. And it's obvious that Sony doesn't care about the Japanese audience really all that much if they're just doing this. I get it, man. Like they're trying, you know, they're basically US based, so they're trying to get their money that way. I get that, but yeah, you just got to kind of outprice a whole market. But actually, speaking
I'm really glad that thing collapsed during the show. What are the odds?
Right, exactly. It's the middle of the night when you're sleeping. Jeez.
Yeah,
actually, I almost forgot. But we do have some sales numbers that I wanted to go over. And this is a oh my God, what's the word? A collection of data from September, okay, from Famitsu via Gematsu. And Ty, do you want to go through the top five best-selling games of September?
Yes, I do. Okay. Let's see. Top five best-selling games of September. Is this physical only?
Physical only. Yep. For me too, always physical only.
Wow. Yeah. All right. Pikmin 4 on Switch, number one at 129,943. Mm-hmm. That's a number.
Yes.
Not bad. Let's see. Mario Kart 8 Deluxe on Switch, 47,370. That's been out a while, so that's
yeah.
Then Pokemon Scarlet and Violet on Switch. I guess they count both of them together.
Yeah, it's kind of weird, but okay.
Yeah, 30. Yeah, they don't usually do that. Anyway, 38,473. We have Fate Samurai Remnants on Switch, 34,728. And then we have a PlayStation 5 game. We got Armored Core 6, Fires of the Rubicant, popular game on Scrub Quotes, 31,761.
Yeah. And there, you know, there are more games. I just posted an article, like I scheduled it to post as soon as we started this episode. So if you want to check out like a complete, well, it's not a complete list. I think I did like a top 20 because there's like, I don't know, 50 games, and some of them go down to like, this one sold like 200 copies or, you know, or something like that. And technically this data is from like the very end of August to like October 1st, because that's how you can fit, you know, September in. They don't have individual day sales. It's all done by the week. So it's a little bit fudging it, but this is, you know, the kind of like the monthly numbers for what's been killing it. And yeah, obviously Nintendo stuff killing it as always. Pikmin hit, coming up big. Mario Kart still being crazy. In terms of hardware, it's kind of a similar story. I mean, still, you know, pretty decent numbers for PlayStation as well. Switch OLED model, 272,000 units for the month. PlayStation 5 coming in right behind that. This is at 208,435, and that's the one with the disc drive. Just the regular OG Switch, 47,000 units. Switch Lite coming in at about 45,000. PlayStation 5 Digital Edition, 18,000 units. Xbox Series S coming also in at a little bit under the PlayStation 5 Digital with 18,300. Xbox Series X, which I have never seen in real life in Japan, about 8,000 units. PlayStation 4, somehow this discontinued system is still selling, 3,300 units. And then the new 2DS LL, including 2DS, 193.
193.
Yeah, oddly specific, but that's how they do it.
Yeah.
But yeah, if you want to, like I said, if you want to take a look at that, you know, a little bit more in full, or if you didn't catch all those numbers, I'll have it linked up, you know, on the website, or just go to the website, famicast.com, and you can check it out. Mario Taz in the chat. Hi, right back at you. Thanks
Namaste,
for stopping
in, friend.
Yes, exactly. Cool. Well, I think that's going to do it for the old Japan news. So I'm going to go ahead and pass things over to Ty.
Oh, boy. It's garbage day.
There we go.
All right. So as usual, I'm filling my rapidly less sustainable dwelling with anime trash that I win from UFO catchers. And I now have 8 different UFO catcher sites in my rotation. I've added a new one.
God, you have to give me the link later, man, because I I put up the links for all of these. Like, can't guarantee you'll be able to try them all out or win something from them and get it shipped to you. But all the links are in the description box on YouTube, the site article. So yeah, there are ways that you can check it out.
All right. And this one's going to be a banger because there's some prizes I've had my eyes on. And so let's open this shit up.
Cool.
All right. So the first one is from Toriba, maybe one of the biggest and most well-known of the UFO catcher sites. It's kind of famously difficult, but they give you a lot of free tickets and they have a wide selection.
Okay.
So, you know, it's got its pros and cons. Anyway, Jinsei, check this shit out. This is this is a Dead by Daylight Fangmin, not fucking what are those god awful ugly Pop? Figures called? Funko Pop. Yeah. It's not a Funko Pop. It's a Genipop, I guess.
Yes, the second
I gotta say, it's much cuter. This is her in her green bunny suit, which is like the most popular cosmetic, I would say, for Fangmin.
Cool.
The character that gets all the cosmetics because she's the fucking gamer girl. I hate her so much. I'm gonna put this in the microwave after the show. Not really, but yeah, you know, it's cute. She's got that little fucking gremlin face.
Yeah, yeah.
Yeah. There's also a pink version.
Yeah, that's where stuff gets dangerous.
Yeah, I went for the green version because, you know, green's my favorite color.
Yeah, yeah.
Yeah. Yeah, all right, let's move on. Okay, here's a mid-sized box from Capcom. Who knows what's in here?
Yeah, they don't even know.
They don't even know.
Maybe.
Yeah. Capcom does tend to have some unique stuff on there. Like, not even just because they have exclusive Capcom stuff. But, you know, they just have some odd stuff on there sometimes. So, let's see. Oh, yeah. Let's go. Speaking of Dead by Daylight, I've got another thing.
Not here.
This is a Hex Totem.
Okay. Totem Light, version 1.5.0.
Yeah.
Room There's Light.
Also a blue version, which would be the Boon Totem.
Okay. Okay.
So in the game, ever since they added the hag like 5 years ago, there's been hex totems in the game. And these are the awful little Easter eggs you have to look for to disable certain very powerful killer perks.
Okay.
And it could also be a trap too, so that's why. So in a sense, they have definitely become a very much a symbol in the game.
Sure.
Yeah. All right, and there's one more thing in this box. Let's see. Oh, that's right. You guessed it. It's another quintuplet figure.
Oh, God.
Oh, God. Here you go.
Okay.
It's what's her name in a tight-fitting swimsuit.
I saw that there was a game that came out recently featuring the quintuplets.
Really?
Yeah, here. I thought it was like a PlayStation 5 thing, maybe Switch 2. I don't know. It was on the Famitsu list.
What kind of game is it?
I don't know, man. I just saw the title and like the sales numbers. So
okay,
yeah.
Like I would imagine it to be a visual novel or something, but what if it's not?
It's a 3D fighter.
Yeah, it's a shooter.
first person shooter. That'd be great.
Yeah. All right. On to the next box. It's another one from Capcom. I gotta say, I love Capcom. I think it's one of the best UFO catchers in Japan. And I think they also. Only shipped to Japan, so
okay. Are there other online UFO catchers like outside of Japan?
Yeah. Ooh. I think so.
Wow.
You know, I wonder if Molly Online is actually in Indonesia. I think it's in Japan though, but they only shipped to Japan and Indonesia.
Maybe they
Yes. We've got a new bunny girl figure. Check it out.
All right.
This is what's her name from I Don't Even Know.
She
looks
one.
Familiar.
They all do.
Anime. Oh yeah, Kaguya-sama something. There you go. It's a bunny girl. Yeah. Put it on the pile. In the literal pile.
Yeah, it's like you can't get out of your room now. So I don't know how you're gonna eat or shower or leave.
Yep, I'm dead.
This is it.
Okay, let's see here. Oh, yeah. Speaking of Molly Online.
There it is.
Yeah. I got to say, I'm a big fan of Molly Online. It's relatively cheap to play, and they let you play the takoyaki machines with your free tickets. So that basically means you have a pretty good chance of getting something for free.
Okay.
Yeah. So let's open it up. Yep, I'm using an ink pen. I yeah, so that... where I put my box cutter.
So yeah, look, that does not look like a box cutter. It looks like an ink pen. It could have been an ink pen designed box cutter, but it's not.
Right. All right, a lot of packing material here. Oh my God, yes. The one thing for which my dark heart yearns. This cactus guy.
Nice.
Right? Let's open him up.
What is this thing? I mean, it's
I don't know. Cool. I just saw him and I had to get him.
Okay.
Like, do you remember Amingo from Marvel vs. Capcom 2?
No, I have
the
that
cactus
game,
guy.
Okay.
So this is like we have Amingo at home.
Okay. If you're like me and didn't know what that is and you're listening to the audio version, like, yeah, it's this awesome looking cactus with like a sombrero and he's holding maracas. It's awesome.
Yeah. Let's see. The tag says Sabo Nino Nuigurumi.
Okay.
So I don't know. Maybe this is don't get. There's like two different designs. I guess I went for this one. Yeah. All right. Just in case anybody's listening in and not tabbed in, like, you got to see this cactus guy.
Yeah, absolutely. This thing's awesome.
Oh, yeah. Giancarlo says, it reminds me of the dancing cacti from that DDR song. I know exactly what he's talking about.
I wonder if I do. I played some DDR back in the day. I was a little late to the party with that, though.
Me too. Yeah, there's a cactus animation they used in a couple different songs.
Okay.
Yeah, I do know exactly what time. This guy rules.
No, that's awesome.
I got to say, yeah, I need to display this one prominently.
Yeah.
It's just one of those cases, like, I saw this random-ass thing, and I wanted to get it. All right. We still got more shit in this box. All right. Okay. Guess what this is. Here's a hint. It's the most likely thing for me to win.
Bunny girl. No, a wolf girl.
No, you're right the first time. Bunny girl. And
damn it.
Also...
Okay.
And also...
A bunny boy?
No. That would be funny though. No, it's also one of those quintuplets again.
Oh.
Oh. You sounded mad almost. Like
how
Jesus
dare
Christ.
You? Well, it looks kind of like is it like a Halloween design or is it just or no?
No, I don't think so. It does have like the kind of purple and orange thing here.
Yeah.
No, I don't think that's what they're going for.
Just a total coincidence. Okay.
So that goes with my other bunny girl quintuplet. So I imagine they're going to have a whole set of these, even though it says like right here on the corner, it says there's one in the set. And
only
yet
one.
There's two right in front of me.
Liars. Yeah. Giancarlo. He's like, yo, it's a cat girl. Damn it.
Damn it. Shit. All right. And there's one more thing in this box. I remember this one was like free. This was just a free ticket. Get the ball in the thing. This is one of the Jujutsu Kaisen characters.
Okay, I've seen
the
this
chick
character.
With the glasses.
Yeah, yeah, purple hair and glasses and the shirt.
Yep, just my type. yeah, she looked cool. So I thought, hey, I'll throw a ticket at that, and I got it.
Nice.
All right. Let's see. I think there's one more box.
Okay.
Yep.
Yeah,
let's
go. Jujutsu Kaisen stuff. Like, yeah, my wife, she read the manga. She watched the anime and stuff. She knows all about it. I just watched like the movie that they had last year, this year.
Yeah.
It's cool. I just didn't know anybody. So.
Yeah. I watched a few episodes of the anime. I got to say, it was really good.
Yeah.
All right. One more box. No fancy packaging on this one, so I'm pretty sure it's from Taito Catcher. Okay. They don't dress up their boxes. I mean, Capcom and Molly and Toyoba, they have their own cool boxes, but...
Yeah, it's like, how expensive could it be to, like, add that to your box, I wonder?
Right?
Yeah, every time we send out Famicast merch, we have Famicast stamp. No, we don't.
Oh.
That'd be cool.
They do always send me these flyers, though.
Okay.
Yeah. About new and upcoming prizes.
Empty cans.
Yeah. All the strong zeros on my desk. Oh no, it's like half strong zero, half monster.
Yes.
Oh my God, this is amazing.
Okay, dude. I don't know if I should be like horrified or what. I have no idea.
You'd be scared of getting demonetized on YouTube. All right. Pretty horny. It's a bunny girl.
Okay. Okay.
It's Super Sonico.
Okay. So Super Sonico has...
This is huge.
Yeah.
This is gigantic. Her knockers are huge. That's what... Yeah. Actually, I have, like, from UFO catchers, like, predating the show, like, actual offline UFO catchers, I have, like, a huge collection of Super Sonico figures. So that's wild. I haven't seen one in machines in a long time.
Huh. Is it, like, an anime or something? Or, like, I don't know what it is. I know the name.
Yeah, Sonico is... It was, like, she's a mascot for, like a music magazine or something. But I think she has her own game and stuff.
Shit. Okay.
Yeah. What else? She was also in that fighting game with all the visual novel characters. What was that called?
Not the one with God and Jesus and Santa.
No, Fight of Gods. No. Nitro Plus Blasters.
Okay.
That was it. That is a fun game, but they never released a version with good netcode.
Oh, okay. Well.
But like, that might also be on Switch. I'm not sure. If you see it by chance, I would recommend it. It's pretty fun and easy to play, and a pretty good old school feeling anime fighting game.
Okay. Okay.
Fandom's completely out of control. Haitani said it. Yep. So I'm probably going to display this one prominently.
Yes, of course.
In my final moments as I die of thirst, unable to escape
right,
the anime landfill.
He's trapped. I mean, his door is completely covered. There's no way out.
Yep. All right. So that'll do it for the anime trash, I think. Yeah, I don't see anything else here in the landfill. Oh, my God.
Good work today, Ty. You had some cool stuff, man. I really like that cactus guy. He's awesome.
Yeah, he kicks ass.
Yeah, dude.
Should I? Who goes in the thumbnail chat?
Yeah, you guys in the chat, you right now, you guys can vote for that. I vote for the cactus dude.
Funny cactus guy or big boob Super Sonico?
Other side.
Yeah, other side. Thank you.
Yeah, you guys choose. We'll make it happen.
I'm kind of leaning cactus. This guy is very eye-catching, I gotta
say. Yeah, I think so too. He's cool.
He kicks ass.
Alrighty. Well, that's gonna do it for the anime trash. So we're gonna go ahead and move on to a little bit of feedback from you guys. If you guys have any feedback for us, long form stuff, short form stuff, whatever, there are several ways that you can hit us up. You can hit us up via email at thefamicast@gmail.com. Hit us up on Twitter or Blue Sky at thefamicast. Sign up in YouTube comments. If I didn't say that, sign up on the website article, and you can have some stuff read out like these guys. And Ty, I linked up a tweet in the agenda.
I'm clicking it now.
Yes, and actually, I'm going to click it and show it up on the screen here as well, because I'll get crap. Look at this pulled up here too. But would you mind just reading that?
Okay, so a friend of the show, Lemonade, says, "I found a great shop in Melbourne called Critical Hit that sells all sorts of anime trash from Japan. It's great. I'm really happy everybody's calling it trash now."
Yeah, absolutely.
Got a Meowth plushie. A cat girl relax time figure. Excuse me, she's a wolf. That's Mio, I believe. She's a VTuber.
Mm-hmm,
and because Ty and the Famicast talks about these kind of figures on the show, and also the Splatoon 3 soundtrack.
Yeah. And yeah, he said that too. Like, yes, I learned that she's a wolf girl, not cat girl, but that's still good.
Right. This came up on the Discord. I think I mentioned she's also on my Forza car.
Yeah, you did. So yeah, and Lemonade was just recently at PAX Australia, and I know that he just put up a video of his endeavors. He was like interviewing developers, kind of running around playing a lot of like cool stuff Yeah, you guys should check his stuff out. I haven't had a chance to check out his video yet. I'll probably try to find a way to, I'll probably link that up in the description box here or on the website and stuff like that too. Lemonade's got some really cool videos. I remember a couple years ago, he made like two versions of a kind of like a video about 3DS. He shot one in freaking 3D and made it so you can actually watch it in 3D on your 3DS. That was awesome. And I remember looking at some of his tweets and blue skies or whatever from over the PAX Australia and stuff like that. He was going around taking pictures with the Game Boy camera and printing him off with like a Game Boy printer and stuff like that. And it looked fun. So yeah, you guys should check him out. If you want to follow him on Twitter, you can. It's ADLNV is his handle, I think, on a lot of places. So be sure to check him out, man. And Giancario, good one here. Yeah, put Cactus Dude in the third screen where JC would be on the thumbnail. Yes, I think that's a good option. JC lives on in the form of Cactus Man.
Yeah. Cool. He goes really well with my Time Wizard.
The Time Wizard.
And Snoozer.
Nice. Right? Nice.
I say, it's really colorful on my desk right here. I love it.
Yeah. And there is one more comment that I wanted to get to. Actually, it's from the last episode of the show. I'll get this pulled up here. This is kind of, again, kind of geared a little bit more towards Ty. But
okay, let's go.
Yeah. Yeah, we talked a little bit about Tekken 8 in the last episode, and then Mr. Charles, I hope that's not James Charlton, it might be, said, Lord, I can't wait for Tekken 8. So much hype. Don't think I've seen such hype for a Tekken game in a while.
Yeah. Oh, yeah, there were some leaks regarding Tekken 8 today, I think.
Oh, really? Okay. Good things?
yeah, just like features and stuff. Okay. It's kind of funny because like Harada was talking some big talk about finding the leaker and like ending their life, but
was it being serious?
Maybe.
Okay, well,
so they showed some screens of a single player mode. It looks like it's called Tekken Force, which is a thing they had before, but it looks like what's the name of the game that Cyrus likes where you run around and beat up 1,000 guys at a time?
Fucking Hyrule Warriors.
Yeah
like Warriors style games and stuff.
Yeah, it looks like Hyrule Warriors. What is that game series called? Why am I blanking on it?
Dynasty Warriors.
Dynasty Warriors, yeah.
Whatever it looks Warriors,
like,
yeah.
It looks like a Dynasty Warriors single-player mode.
Okay, or Musou.
Right. Yeah, so you might be able to find that floating around on Twitter.
Okay.
And also, I don't think it's a leak. I think they talked about it earlier, but it's also going to have like AI ghosts that like copy your style.
Okay.
Yeah, like, you know, Killer Instinct had that and it's amazing.
Yeah.
So, you know, apparently it is kind of hard to make well, but the game will record like the actions you tend to do in different situations and put that into an AI ghost, if you will. So you can do things with that.
Well, I guess like the more you play, obviously like this, the quote unquote smarter it would get or whatever. Right. So
yeah. Or dumber if you're bad.
Yeah. Or yeah. If you just do what'd you say? Last episode, you said somebody did intentionally bad so that when somebody was testing out the feature, they were just like getting housed or something.
Yeah. Or yeah. Like if you teabag constantly, like your AI will teabag constantly.
Yeah, teaching only the best to AI. That's how it should be.
Yeah, it's a good feature.
Yeah, that's cool. There's always a lot of other stuff on YouTube. Some stuff people complaining about Metal Gear Solid, the collection coming out, complaining about on the Switch. Some others calling people idiots for saying they're complaining about, you know, the baby system versions, blah, blah, blah. It's YouTube. Stuff like that. But yeah, I think we'll cut it off there with the comments. I did notice actually earlier in the chat, hi Tani. Yeah, he was we were talking about language, you know, earlier in the show, and he said, hey, tell me about it, how often I swap my syllables when I'm at the city ward. Yeah, it's like wasarimashita or suwaremashita. You know, like this. Yeah, when you are living in another country, it can be kind of difficult to get a handle on things. And I know Haitani, he's not even like a native English speaker, but like he's European, so he speaks like more languages than I probably ever will in my entire life. And right. You know, like I respect the hell out of that. So I know how hard it is to learn languages and just to, you know, not only are you away from your own country. I mean, we were hanging out a little bit at TGS and he was talking to me in English and stuff like that. It's absolutely perfect, you know, but yeah. Anyways, just, study language. It's fun. Study Japanese. Come to Japan.
It's tremendously funny.
Yeah. Come to Japan, work and get paid peanuts. It's fun.
Yeah.
All right. Well, that's going to do it for the feedback. And that's actually going to do it for the episode. Before we leave, we're going to go ahead and give out our social media handles so that you can follow us on wherever we will be. If you want to follow me on Twitter and Blue Sky.
Blue Sky.
If you're interested in getting an invite, hit me up. I have several. Hit me up on Twitter or, I don't know, snail mail, whatever. But anyways, if you want to follow me.
Discord, let's go.
Discord, Jesus. There it is. I am behind the times sometimes. But if you want to hit me up, it's at Danny Bibb, DannyBiv. Ty, where can the fine folks find you?
Super Cat Drugs on Twitter, Mastodon, Blue Sky. If you send me a notification on those, I'll probably see it sooner or later.
Cool.
Do not contact me for any reason.
Yes, exactly. All right. Well, that is going to do it for the episode. While I'm stalling here to look for an ender screen for the show. God damn it. I do this every single time. Here it is. Hope you guys enjoyed the episode. Hopefully JC will be able to come back sometime soon. But like I said earlier in the show, as of right now, he's going to be just kind of, taking a step back, just dealing with work and just life and stuff like that. You know, stuff happens. The Cactus Man is dancing. He'll be dancing for all eternity, waiting for James. Or just dancing to be dancing, who knows? But
let's go. I love him. He's so cute.
He's awesome, man. He's awesome. Anyways, again, that's gonna do it for the episode. Thank you guys so much for tuning in live. That those of you that could watching the video version, audio version, however you consume the episode. We appreciate the feedback, listens, likes. Don't dislike, please. And we will catch you next time. Peace.
Peace. I'll vote on Reddit.